We open our Bibles this morning in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37. That's the 37th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, commencing to read at the opening verse. That is verse number 1, Ezekiel chapter 37. Let's follow the reading of God's precious and God's holy word. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and set me out in the spirit of the Lord, carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was for the bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost, and we are cut off from our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Keep your Bibles open there. Let's just bow in prayer. Eternal God and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy word. And I pray, Lord, that you'll help me right now just to rightly divide the word of truth. Give me understanding. Oh God, I've sought to study it. And I pray that this day that thou will give me the power now to preach it, as thou hast revealed thy word unto me this day. And to this end, I take that promised Holy Ghost. The blessed power of Pentecost, O God, fill me to the uttermost. I take, Lord, undertake for me, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we have looked at the opening verses of this 37th chapter previously. Just a few Sundays ago in this 37th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. In verse 1 it tells us that Ezekiel was carried by the Spirit of the Lord. And he was set down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones. You'll notice it says the hand of the Lord was upon me. And he was carried in the Spirit of the Lord. So the emphasis here is in the Lord. And what is experienced in this passage of God's word was not some fleshly emotionalism of the prophet Ezekiel, but indeed it was a mighty intervention of God. And so we find that Ezekiel, the Lord owned this experience, he directed it, and indeed he executed it by himself. And so the Spirit of the Lord was upon Ezekiel. The hand of the Lord was upon him, and he was carried out in the Spirit of the Lord. Now, when we were looking at it, we noticed, first of all, the stirring revelation, because the Spirit set Ezekiel down in the midst of the valley. And whenever he came into this valley, what did he see in the valley? He saw a valley full of dry bones. And as Ezekiel looked around him, he saw nothing but a picture of desolation, of death, of decay, of indeed despair and defeat. That's what lay around him. And of course, no person would have gone there on a journey himself. It wasn't a journey that you would want to go, but he was carried. The hand of the Lord was upon him. He was carried out in the Spirit of the Lord. Now, this was needful for Ezekiel, because God was wanting to deal with Ezekiel's heart. He wanted Ezekiel to see the seriousness of the situation of the land of Israel at that particular time. He wanted to give him a vision, a real vision, of just exactly the position that the people of Israel were in. And the Word of God says, without a vision, the people perish. And I believe that that's what we need today. We need to catch a vision afresh. As we look around, not only our province, but the United Kingdom, and even as we look across the world, we have got to catch a vision afresh and see just exactly the seriousness, the awful need of the hour, and the seriousness of the situation. And friend, to be honest, why we need to see it is this. Because many of God's people are filled with apathy today. The tragedy is that many of God's people have lost the vision. And God knows our hearts today. And many of God's people are happy, sleeping, just going on in their religious experience, but they're filled with indifference to the seriousness of the situation of this country and across the world in which we live. The awful apostasy that's gripping once again. And friend, we look back just a few years and we realize that people were concerned about the darkening clouds of apostasy. They took a stand against it. They spoke against it. They opposed it. But many of God's people have lost the desire even to stand against the ecumenism and the ecumenical apostasy of this day and generation. And they're quite happy to go along with it. They're quite happy to slip in and out of it just whenever it suits them. They have lost the vision that once we had and our forefathers had. And when God brought this place even into his existence, God brought us to be a people separated, a people outside the camp to honor and glorify the name. Why? Because there was an awful apostasy and deadness and decay upon us and desolation around us spiritually in our province. Then we're seeing that getting its grip again. And we're seeing, sad to say, there is an indifference among many of the people of God. And many people are afraid to speak out against it anymore and about the separated stand which God has called us to take. Now, Ezekiel was not only set down in this valley. It says in verse 1, he was set me down. The Spirit of God set him down in the midst of the valley which was full of dry bones. But friend, the Bible not only tells us that he was set down. Look in verse 2. He caused me to pass by them round about. In other words, there was a purpose for him to be carried of the Spirit. He caused me to pass by them. You see, this was a valley of dry bones. Dry bones. You see, the Bible talks later on about the slain. Verse number 9. And breathed upon these slain. There had been a battle here. And the tragedy is, in the midst of this battle, people have been slaughtered in this battle. And the bones have been scattered everywhere. As I said the last occasion, these were not corpses that were lying there. These were not skeletons that were lying there. It says there were dry bones because there was such a tragedy that happened here. There was such a massacre that happened here. The bones were not lying, just dead people lying there. And then the vultures came and just took off the flesh. No. The bones were scattered everywhere. The corpses were not lying together. The bones were scattered. There were hands here. There were feet there. There were skulls here. They weren't hooked together. The bones were bleached by the sun. They were picked by the vultures. And they were turning to dust. But what I want to remind you is this. Once there was life here. Once there was life. It wasn't always like this. You see, the day that these men went into battle, friend, there was life there. But now there's nothing but bones. And the Bible says they're dry bones. Look at verse 2. Very dry. They're very dry. What a pathetic sight. What a pathetic sight. And friend, let's be honest before God. When you look back and you read the story of revival in this province, where many meeting houses were opened because of the fires of revival. And yet the reality is this. Many of those preaching houses that were open revival today are either shut or they're as dead as Hector. They're dead. Once they were ablaze. Once they were on fire for God. Once the old-fashioned gospel was preached. Once they contended for the faith. But alas, today, there's a deadness, there's a coldness. There's nothing happening anymore. That's sad. But don't forget this, friend. That could happen to us too. That could happen to us too. We need to be very careful. Because if we start losing out in the standards that our forefathers stood for, and they stood for it because they were standards of the book, and they took a stand for God and they preached the old-fashioned gospel, and they weren't afraid to mention the blood. And there are many places today, and they'll talk about the cross of Christ, but you don't hear the blood of Christ. So I mention it. Preachers seem to be afraid to mention the blood of Jesus. But remember this, it's the blood of Jesus Christ alone that cleanses from all sin. And this is what the Bible says. Listen, the Lord caused me to pass by them round about. The Lord caused me. Now what was the Lord doing, friend? The Lord caused them to take an exact view of them. Ezekiel says, I was made to go round about them. Notice, he wasn't carried over them. He caused me to pass by them round about. And Gill, the commentator, says round means several times. He was viewing them from every side. He wanted to get an exact picture, the numbers of them, the situation, the condition of them, the tragedy of it all. To catch a grip over the tragedy. Then lying before him was an absolute tragedy of people that once had life, but now they've lost it. Once had liberty and now they've lost it. And I can tell you, our wee province needs to be very careful. Because, friend, we have liberty today to come into a house like this, none daring to make us afraid. But let me tell you, a people who forgets the value of that liberty can lose it. And days of persecution can come. And maybe we're not too far away from those days of persecution. Whenever it will not be as easy to come to God's house as it is today. You stand for the word of God, and the truth is this, friend. We're living in those days of persecution. There's people listening into our services right now, let me tell you, to try to pick something that the preacher says that they can latch on to and even take him to court for. We're losing our freedom. It was hard fought for. Let us never lose it. Let us pray to God. Oh, let us view it. He said, He caused me to pass. Oh, that we would see the situation as it really is. And I have no doubt as the prophet of God went through those and he looked on every side, those dry bones that were lying round about, he wondered, how could it happen? How could it have happened? And why did it happen? And the answer was this. Because of sin. Because of sin. And God stepped in and God judged them because of their sin. And I have no doubt whatsoever, like Nehemiah, as he looked at the walls of Jerusalem and he saw the rubble and others, it broke his heart. Have we lost the sensitivity? Have we lost the compassion of the Lord today? Or are we still stirred as we look around us today? Are we stirred by what we see? The deafness, the coldness, the dryness? We sang a hymn. Our service for God is barren and dry, and barren it shall remain until we're blessed with a fire from on high. But friend, does the dryness, barrenness, does it bother you? Does it concern you? Well, I'll tell you, there's a lot of people in this church that doesn't. And I'll tell you why. They're not in the place of prayer. Because if it bothered you, you'd be on your knees before God. You'd be in the place of prayer, seeking the face of God. But you've lost that. The stirring revelation. And then the soul-searching responsibility. Not only did he see this, look at verse 3. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Humanly speaking, we're not going into this morning because we've looked at it. Humanly speaking, the answer was simple. No, they couldn't. And as God's child went through those bones, God asked him a question. Ezekiel, what do you think, Ezekiel? What do you think? Can those bones live again? And I said on that occasion, the prophet gave the only answer that faith could give. In verse 3 it says, and I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. But friend, let me tell you, God didn't ask Ezekiel because he didn't know. But God was wanting to teach Ezekiel a lesson that there's nothing too hard for God. Listen, God can change a tragic situation. God can turn the tide. God can move again in an impossible situation. But there's nothing too hard for God. For with man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible if we only believe. See, man's extremity of weakness is God's opportunity of power. Yes, God can. What do you think, Ezekiel? And friend, I ask us this morning, what do you think? You know, there are people sitting in God's house today, and I've heard them say to me, Mr. McRae, sad to say, I don't believe those days of revival will ever come back. They've lost hope. Can the dead bones live? My friend, what are you going to do about it? God asked him the question, can those dead bones live? And I said, Lord, thou knowest. And then God says, look at verse 4. Again he said unto me, ah, listen. God has a part for Ezekiel to play if the dead bones are going to live. And my friend, God has a part for you and me. If you and I want the dead bones to live, if you and I want revival, if you and I want the stirring of God again, what will that mean to us? And God had a job for Ezekiel. And God says, Ezekiel, verse 4, prophesy unto these bones and say unto them, all ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And as we finished at our study before, friends, let me tell you this. God says to preach. Preach to those dry bones. And humanly speaking, friend, that was a foolish thing. But then, of course, doesn't the Bible say that the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness? How can life come through death? But let me tell you, my friend, it is through the finished work of Jesus Christ upon the cross that you and I can have eternal life. That's why Jesus Christ came into the world. He came to die in our guilty room instead. He came to purchase for us an eternal salvation. And by his precious blood, he paid the last price of our freedom. And hallelujah, death couldn't hold him anymore. And up from the grave he arose. And he's alive forevermore. And because he lives, we can face tomorrow. And because he lives, all our fear is gone. He says, preach. But Preach what? Look at it. Hear the word of the Lord. Preach God's word. Preach my word, says God. Preach my word. Because there is power in my word. And let me tell you, my friend, through the foolishness of preaching, God has ordained to save them that believe. There is power in this book. My word is as a fire, it says. My word is as a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces. This book is a two-edged sword. Preach the word. Why? Because the word of God's infallible. You see, friend, the word of God, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Preach the word because it's infallible. Preach the word because it's complete. You know, the cults add to the book their own commentaries and their own thoughts of men. But I want to tell you, all you need is the word of God, because this word of God, we're neither to add to it nor to take from. The word of God's complete. The word of God is totally authoritative. My word is forever settled in heaven. Though heaven and earth may pass away, God says, my word shall never pass away. And so he's to preach the word, and it was by the faithful proclamation of the word that God was going to make these bones live. And friend, that's still the same today. It's by the faithful proclamation of the word that results will follow. God will fulfill his promise. My word shall not return unto me void. And because he had a clear word from God, friend, Ezekiel was able to look at those dead bones, and he stood there and he preached. Yes, the world would laugh at him. Through the foolishness of preaching, God has ordained to save them that believe. But notice what God said. Look at verse 5. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. Here's the unconditional purpose of God. God says, listen, I will cause breath to enter into you. I will. And then it says, and ye shall. I will, ye shall. That's the order. God says, I will. I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And that's the way that God works his eternal purposes out. He bids his servants to preach the word, and then he fulfills his own purposes, his own promises, according to his word. You see, this is the work of God. It's not the work of man. This is the work of God. And having heard the word, look at verse 9. So I prophesied. I prophesied as I was commanded. I just did as I was told. And friend, that's what you have got to do. That's what you and I have got to do. That's our responsibility. We've got to do what we're told to do. Now I want you to notice, whenever he did this, and it might have been laughable standing there in the midst of a valley full of dry bones, and God says, preach to them and tell them, I will cause breath to enter into you and ye shall live, and I will lay sinews upon you, and I will bring flesh upon you, and I will cover you with skin, and I will put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Notice that this is all of God. Notice, I will. There's nothing to do with man. You see, friend, let me tell you, for God to send us a revival, it's God has got to do it. We can't work it up. This is not of man. This was nothing. All he did. Now, notice what happened here, because something happens. Once he stands in verse 7, I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when God's word is preached, friend, something will happen. You see, God has promised, my word shall not return unto me void. And friend, it's not my responsibility to save people because I can't. I couldn't save myself, so I couldn't save you. But it's my responsibility to preach. For God has sent me to preach the word. But salvation belongeth unto the Lord. But whenever there's faithful preaching of the word of God, something will happen. It will. Notice what it says there. And I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, there was a shaking. There was a commotion. And you know, whenever we preach, something will happen. Sometimes it brings a revival. Sometimes men and women get saved. Sometimes, friend, let me tell you what happens whenever they're preaching the word of God. It arouses opposition. It arouses persecution. And that shakes God's people. But I'll guarantee you, with a faithful preaching the word of God, there'll be a shaking. And friend, that's what we need. That's what we need. We need God to shake us again. We need God to shake us again. But if you ask God to shake you, friend, you better be ready for the consequences. Because it may not come as you want it. But as God designs it. All he did was simply preach. And suddenly, as if a powerful unseen magnet was activated, bones began to whiz past each other. Notice waves put there in the scriptures. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. They'd been scattered everywhere. And they whizzed past each other through the air. And then they pulled back to their original partners as God began the amazing process of reassembly. That's the greatness of our God. That's the greatness of God, friend. And it says bone to his bone. In other words, every bone went back to their original place. Friend, this was of God. They went back to their proper position, position in the body. Went back to their original frame. Say, how could it happen? Only God. Only God can do this. Do you remember whenever God told Noah to build the ark? And Noah preached and preached and preached, and only not one person came in. And God says, Noah, take your wife and take your family and go in. Now God had said to Noah, you've got to take animals of every kind, take them into the ark. But I want you to notice a little verse in Genesis chapter 7. And in Genesis chapter 7, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by seven, the males and his female, and the beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. Of fowls also of the air by seven, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. And then go down to verse 7. And Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Of the clean beasts and of the beasts that are not clean, of the fowls, and everything that creepeth upon the earth. Mark this verse 9. There went in two by two unto Noah into the ark. Now just mark that. There went in two by two unto Noah. In other words, Noah was in the ark. Noah didn't send his sons out to gather up the animals. The seven of the clean. And the two of the unclean. He didn't send Noah to do this work. No, God says, Noah, come in to the ark. Come and thy house into the ark. And the Bible says in verse 7, Noah went in. And then they went in two by two onto Noah in the ark. And who did the gathering for? God did. God did. Now Noah had to do what God told him to, build the ark. Noah had to go into the ark. And Noah and his family went in together. And thank God he got the family in and God shut to the door. But before the door was shut, friend, God gathered the animals just exactly as he purposed. As he planned. Because this was of God. And here in Ezekiel's day, the bones whizzed past each other and they joined together and they became just as they formerly were, bone to his bone. But then notice this, the work's not finished. Verse 8, and when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, and there was no breath in them. Now, let me tell you, friend, it says the sinews and the flesh came upon the bones. Now notice how God was doing this. He was doing it in order. He didn't say, Ezekiel, go out and tell those bones to pull themselves together or pull the flesh together. Or neither did God, listen, pull a lot of flesh together and then try to squeeze the bones inside the flesh and then put the muscles on them. No, he didn't do it that way. God did it in proper order. The bones came together. And then it says the flesh, the sinews and the flesh came upon them. And the skin covered them above. All in their proper order. The bones, the muscles, the skin. There's still a problem. No life. All there was are dead bodies now. Before that it was dead bones. Now there's dead bodies. Look at it. It says there was no breath in them. So it's a valley of dead bodies. And friend, that's not much use. He said, well, those bones live. Are they going to live again? Well, look at verse 9. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy unto the wind. And say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. As I said, whenever the bones came together, there were nothing else, only skeletons. Then we find that the sinews come upon them, and then the flesh comes upon them, and then the skin comes upon them. But all now they are is dead bodies instead of dry bones. Now they might be better to look at. But there's no more life in them before. Listen, they may have the appearance of life, but they're still dead. Then let me tell you, it's possible for a preacher to preach and people to change their appearance, people to change their behavior. They stop their cursing. They stop their drinking. They stop their swearing. They stop their immorality. They make changes in their lives, friend. The external results. But there's no eternal life. No life of God in them. And I've seen drunkards have stopped drinking. I've seen immoral people stop their immorality. So have you. I've heard people whose mouths were cursing and mouth full of curses, and I've heard them stop their cursing, but they're not saved. They're not changed. They're not born again. You see, they're still dead. And preachers can inspire people, and preachers can motivate people, and preachers can instruct them to do this or that. But listen, preachers haven't the power to impart life. It's only God. God breathed into man, and man became a living soul. Very quickly, notice this. Verse 9. Then said unto me, prophesy. And here we're seeing a supernatural resurrection, friend. God has not finished with Ezekiel yet. God continues to use Ezekiel to fulfill his purpose. Now he could do it without him. Just as God can do it without you or me. But God is designed to do it with us. I was reading a story this past week. In the 1700s, there was a little man in England. He was a cobbler by trade. And in his cobble shop, in his shoe shop, he had a map of the world. He was a believer. He was a godly man. And he had a map up there in his workshop, because as he looked at that map and all the nations of the world, that would help him to pray. He would pray for the different countries of the world, for God to bless and God to move. And he had a definite missionary outreach in his own heart and his life. And one day he shared that burden with a group of ministers, a meeting of ministers. And whenever he told them about the burden that God laid in his heart for the mission field, one of these senior men of God turned to him and he said to him, young man, sit down. When God wants to convert the heathen, he'll do it without your help. Or mine. That young man was called William Carey. But friend, being put down by that older preacher didn't stop the burden in Carey's heart. It didn't stop the fire of his enthusiasm. He wouldn't let the devil dampen his enthusiasm by that response. And he left the shores of England and he went to the land of India. And he became a pioneer missionary to do great exploits for God. And many were gloriously saved. Listen, God could do this without Ezekiel. But God designed to do it through him. And you're God's hands and feet, friend, in this old world today. Yes, God could send revival without you or me, friend. God can do a mighty work in this, but God is ordained to use you and me. And here we find the bones are in their proper place. The body's there in its place. The brain was in the head, but it's not thinking. The lungs are in the body, but they're not breathing. The heart was in its place, but it's not beating. Friend, you and I can set the agenda for revival. You and I can set the programs. We can organize and all of these things. We can initiate all our efforts and we can start the action. No avail except the breath of God. Except God. Except God build the house. They labor in vain that built it. And so we said to him, prophesy. Prophesy to the wind. Now look at verse 10. So I prophesied. Listen. How did he do it? As he commanded me. I did what I was told. Do you think that Ezekiel understood this? I don't believe he did. Standing there now and he's preaching to dead bodies. He preached to dry bones and now he's preaching to dead bodies. If any had seen him, they thought he was mad. He was ready for the madhouse. But he said, so I prophesied as he commanded. Notice this, friend. Notice this. And the breath came into them and they lived and stood up upon their feet an exceeding great army. He simply obeyed. He prophesied as he was commanded. Now the word prophesy there, let me just say this. The word prophesy is not in the sense of predicting what was to come to pass, but speaking simply in that of speaking under the inspiration of God. He was preaching. And we haven't time to say that or to go into this morning, but the words breath, wind, and spirit are represented in the Hebrew by the same word. And it's the context that determines the sense in which it's intended. And also in the Greek, there's the same word for wind and spirit. And immediately the wind or the spirit or the breath entered into these corpses, friend. Something happened. They were alive. Living. And if we are to have revival amongst God's people, we need the breath of God. Because where the Spirit is, there is life. But notice something happened. And the breath came into them and they lived. Didn't stop there. They stood upon their feet. Now they're taking a stand for God. And that's what God wants you and me to do, friend. God has saved us for a purpose. God has promised us the power. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. And here we see these bones that are dry, and then they become to come together, and then he brings the sinews and the flesh upon them, and then he breathes into them, and something happens. They began to stand, and what is happening? They're standing a great army. That's what it says, an exceeding great army. It's only God can do that. They're not only living, friend. They're not only standing, but thank God they're standing as soldiers of the Lord. They're a great, exceeding great army. We sing the hymn, "It is no secret what God can do." As you look around, I've got to finish. When you look around the world today, and you see all that's happening in this world, friend, tell me, what do you feel? What do you feel? What do you think? You think it's hopeless? When you see the deadness amongst the people of God, when you see the prayerlessness amongst the people of God, friend, you think it's all over? You think we're finished? God asked the question, can these dead bones live? And God chose it. They can. We sang the hymn today, "Sweeping this way, Lord, sweeping this way, a mighty revival is sweeping this way. Keep on believing, trust and obey. A mighty revival is sweeping this way, friend." Friend, be honest before God. We need God to sweep this way again. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we bow in thy holy presence this morning, we confess that as we look around us, we can feel discouraged at times. Disappointed, disheartened. Few there are who seem to care, and few there be to pray. Oh God, touch my heart. Please, God, fill my life and give me souls each day. Surely it's time for revival. Surely soon dawneth the day, soon shall we hail its arrival, chasing the shadows away. Lord, send us revival. let's not forget the necklace, the line, Lord. Let it begin now in me. Gladly dethroning each rival, yield I my heart unto thee. Friend, as your head's bowed before God this morning, do you want revival? We certainly need it. Tell me, how much do you want it? What are you willing to go through for God to send you revival? Let it begin now in me. Please, God, make us willing. In Jesus' name. Amen.